All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, we are here at an elementary school where I have taken all of the drawings off of the walls and formed them into a flip book.
Oh.
Yeah. I just figured, you know, the
children are our future.
Exactly. Since the children are our future and their imaginations are fertile wonderlands of, man, I really shouldn't have used the word fertile to describe children.
Fecund.
Yeah, since they're fecund wonderlands.
Yeah, fecunderlands. you're first from Cole Ross. Children are fecunderlands.
We'll see if that makes it into the episode.
Do you think fecunderlands is like 100% or 110% somebody's self-published Amazon like fantasy novel about like women being baby making slaves?
Oh yeah, it's definitely like it can't technically be a gore novel, but
yeah,
yeah,
like a gore side story. Like Gore Guyden.
Gore Guyden.
Hi, my name is Gore Guyden. I'll be your barbarian today.
Yes,
yeah.
Self-lubricate your heart.
Sorry. I really love the romantic or erotic novels where the title is a portmanteau, specifically the Pregnesia series.
That's very funny word to me.
Yeah.
Like I understand that like there's all kinds of stuff to unpack about that shit, but every time I read Pregnesia, I'm like, you know, that's very funny to me. Like preg is a good prefix. Like
yep.
Great. Yeah.
The best prefix.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
But the pitch uploaded Pregnog.
Yep. So. I forgot about Pregnog.
Y'all forgot about Pregnog.
God, the uploaded series is so much more grotesque.
It reflects our darker times.
Yeah.
than the early one. But anyway, we got this flip book and these kids want their art back, so we should hurry.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's just flip this bad boy. Mm-hmm. All right, just a bunch of noise. Oh, letters. Wait, what?
Okay.
It says
Santa or just in general?
No, it's just they're like practicing their cursive. Okay. It's a fjords.
Huh. Oh.
Oh, they were they must have been doing some kind of report on Norway. Can you put that into the game computer, see if it comes up?
Yep.
Sorry, I lost my keyboard. Oh, the only input that I have is a Rock Band drum kit.
Yep. Yeah. I play a good fill and then it does enter. Okay. It looks like that is a board game.
Okay.
Let me take the results and kind of narrow it down a little bit.
World of Tanks level.
Okay.
So, I'm very happy you did YYC.
And I was hoping you'd pick it up. I was looking for something better than a bottle of medication to bang against my bottle of hot sauce for that. But it's the kind of evening I've had. But it looks like it is an independent game from itch.io.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this. This is good.
This is cool.
Yeah.
Let's get into it. It's going to be a fun challenge, though.
Yes,
because I don't have a whole lot to say other than explaining how cool this is, and then Fjords does not suggest that many tangents.
No, it does not.
I'm very neutral on the concept of Fjords.
Yeah,
I hate to alarm you, but I have no strong feelings one way or another.
I could give you a tight 15 on inlets or stuff, things like that. Fjords, no. Nah, I got nothing. They're not endemic.
A Netflix special coming out on peninsulas, but Fjords, not so much.
Yeah.
I'm Gary Butterfield.
I'm Cole Ross.
This is Epic Suffering, the show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Thank you for doing this to us.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a DuckStream request.
Yes, it is. It is one of our final remaining DuckStream requests. We've tried to do at least one of these a month. I need to pull up who actually submitted this because Oh, this is our friend Pickle Factory. Hi.
Oh, hey. Thanks, Pickle Factory.
Yeah. Giving a quote from the beginning of the game, answer the telephone and take on a pizza task. Helpful wish the presence of Science Eye. Make good decisions for SCMOS. Heart, heart, heart. A strange game that wants you to edit its rules. I don't know if it's enough of a game? Question mark.
It's very a game, I think.
Yeah.
Like this is extremely a game.
Yes.
But it doesn't initially seem like much of one.
Right. So that little quote there, answer the phone and take on a pizza task. Like, I know that Itch is not a monolith, but of the stuff that we have played that has come from there, there definitely does seem to be a house style for this kind of, like independent game. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This is very like itch.io the game, you know, the good version of it.
Yes.
Like where there is a lot of, you know, it doesn't feel like it is like there's a lot of, like, I like itch.io games a lot. There's a lot of different things you can do with it. This is a different kind of mechanical representation of a more this is the version that I would call, and this sounds diminutive and I don't mean it to be, but it's almost like big indie game junior, you know, like this thing is like a Fez, like almost.
Yeah. Fez is a good comparison.
You know, and it's even though like I don't really like Fez, like I like this more than I like Fez, even though I didn't play this that much either. Let's get into it and describe what it is, and then it's weird like meta origins, and then do our tight probably like 45 or 50 minutes of just about fjords in general.
Yeah.
And what fjords are, and like when to use them, how to spot them, how to tell them from other, like fjord or bridge.
What to do if a fjord approaches you.
Yeah, like a wild fjord appears, or like let's say you're crossing a fjord and it gives way, like what do you do? You know?
Yeah. So fjords, this is at its basic level kind of a looks like a Commodore 64 platformer a little bit. Mm-hmm. Got kind of a Lode Runner aesthetic to it. Appears to be tile based. But you don't jump. You actually have a grappling hook that will just pull you up toward the ceiling, and as you're falling, you can move left and right.
Well, sometimes that's the base verb. Mm-hmm. You can change the verb because this is part of the subset of games like the Magic Circle or what have you, where it is a game about programming.
Yes.
You can. The gimmick here is that you're making your way across these kind of almost ASCII looking worlds, and you can go into a computer and turn on and off elements of the world. One of which changes your locomotion.
Mm-hmm.
If you switch to magic, then you hover your platform beneath you to get around, which is very different. But you can turn off, I think there are 8 different factors, and they are range from like enemies and obstacles to just like basic things like, you know, the boats that you take to get across areas, and then kind of your verbs, and then some things that are a little bit more inscrutable.
Right.
So to like, that.
What does ghosts mean? What does it mean to turn ghosts on and off?
I turned on ghost and saw ghost in some screens. This is going to go to like where we come off like gigantic posers that need to have our hands held, I guess, because there are some things that like the reason why I ultimately stopped playing this was because of it lacking ease of use things that a bigger game would have. I don't think that makes it lesser. I think that's something wrong with my level of patience, but
right.
One of the issues with this is that you can turn things on and off, but if they're not native to that screen, you don't know, like you can just kind of do it for nothing, and you have to go through this interface and this command line prompt every time you do it. And I found that obnoxious.
Yeah. Like for me, it was a time budget thing, you know,
yeah.
Like yesterday I set aside like an hour and a half for playing and doing research on these things. We did Beavis and Butthead, and then I did this, and it's like, wow, there is more here than I feel comfortable, you know, like getting into. Like I've got other stuff to move on to. Like it is not for lack of interest, but you're absolutely right that the pace of play in this is a little bit more deliberate than I was, you know, kind of like looking for fun at that point.
Like deliberate makes me feel like you're always doing something, but it's slow. It's like. Yeah, like you're doing a lot of it just takes a long time to test for information, I guess. Like you spend a lot of time in menus and kind of fiddling with these systems, and the results, like iterating, is just annoying. And you're not even solving necessarily a puzzle. Like sometimes you are and you say, like, I have to get to this spot in the map. I know where that is. Which factors do I turn on and off? Do I get that to get that? I don't know if those factors would be present at all. So turning them on, maybe you won't do anything, but I have a good idea what I can test. Sometimes, though, it is like a big open world, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it starts off presenting as kind of a single screen puzzle game where your goal is to get from one end to the other, but that's not really what it is.
No, no.
You know, so like, it just, you have to spend a lot of time in that menu doing that command line prompt.
Yeah.
To kind of iterate on this. And that's really tedious. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it doesn't signal very well. And part of that is half the mystique of the game that's intentional. And part of it is just an interface thing that ended up ruining some of my fun.
Yeah. And I gotta say, like, I'm normally, you know, I'm fine with like a little bit of coding or whatever, like that's okay. It's not something I seek out, like in a game specifically, like looking at something like you know, like Zachtronic games, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
I can appreciate those, but like I don't think I would arise to the appreciation that like a Nick has for
yeah
that.
Yeah, very same.
Yeah,
like, you know, I thought I would like Quadrilateral Cowboy, mm-hmm. and I super don't.
Yeah,
like I really didn't like that game. And like, it's because I don't like spending a lot of time in a coding interface. Like, that's not a fun puzzle to me.
Yeah.
And it had the exact same, it's weird. Like, that is a much bigger budget indie game, like still within the budget of umbrella of indie, but is still has the same problem with like iterating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is still, I go to a menu, I try a bit of code, and then I go to the real world and see if it works. And that is that extra step of going to this extra interface
mm-hmm.
to do that, like breaks the flow. Like, if yeah. I'm doing like a, even if you take like a shitty puzzle game, like if I'm doing a block pushing puzzle in Soul Reaver,
mm-hmm.
I can push a block, like I'm pushing a block and moving around and seeing the effect on the world in the same screen.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have a loading and menu between them.
Yeah.
The way you do with Quadrilateral Cowboy or with this.
Yeah. Well, what I was leading up to with my, you know, by talking about my tolerance for this though, I was initially kind of scared that this was going to be like, oh, I'm going to be like monkeying around in the files. And like,
oh,
yeah, changing values in a .ini or something like that. The actual interface that you do with this is pretty, like, it's pretty simple. Like, you're not doing a lot of like syntax. It's basically like set, noun, and then true or false is really all that I saw the game asking of me at that point. So like, I was worried that figuring out how to affect the world was going to be a bigger thing. But no, like, it's actually pretty conscientious about that.
Yeah, it's almost just like DOS.
Yeah,
you know, I agree,
DOS without like a directory structure, right?
Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off, but you were saying that it was a good expression of this coding thing, because I think it I would rather do this depth of it than mm-hmm. I would that's something that's like significantly deeper.
Yeah, so like, if somebody's listening, like I feel like both of us would endorse this game, like, you know, trying it out. If somebody's listening and like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I want to deal with coding, like the actual syntax of what you're putting into that is not either hard to figure out or very obtrusive. Like, the iteration is the bigger problem, where you're figuring out what to turn on or what to turn off.
And the fact that the game doesn't signal that, and that not every element is present in every room.
Right.
The two biggest things that stop me from playing this game more is that, is just that kind of, slow, you know, like stilted, jerky pace of play. And you get an ability you can turn on warp. And what warp does, which is really visually striking, is it like transports you to a glitch realm, essentially. And you can move your avatar a short distance, and that corresponds to a teleport in the main realm.
Yep.
When you exit it. There is not a 1-to-1 distance ratio.
Nope.
From the glitch realm to the thing. And that requires a maddening amount of trial and error, where you will telefrag yourself or end up where you don't want to be more often than not.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, you know, I keep dying and having to restart this room. I keep, you know, falling through off the world and ending up in a previous room.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nope. Yeah. You know, I just can't. You know, I don't have time for this as a thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't feel patient about it. And it's like pleasant and it's cool looking.
Oh,
and
yeah.
The atmosphere like as hell, and the music's good. And like, it seems like a place I'd want to be. It just mm-hmm. doesn't. That's like a level of unfriendliness, I think, is really annoying.
Yeah. I love the sound effects because they're all just mouth sounds.
Yeah.
Boop, 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 boop.
Yeah, that's very cool.
I kind of wanted to, like, you know, the game comes with the files, like they're in .ogg or whatever. I kind of just want to like take those and convert them to MP3 and play around with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's neat. It's a cool aesthetic.
Yeah.
So that stuff is all really neat. And that was kind of where I ended on the actual surface level playthrough. And then when I looked up stuff online, found out this is part of this like pretty ambitious and very neat sounding project.
Yes. ShareCart 1000 is the name of kind of not the engine that this runs on, but like it's a collective framework where the idea is that you use the same save file for a bunch of different games.
Yes. And what that means is like you can play this game, save your game, and it will affect the save file in other games you're playing that are part of the ShareCart 1000 experience. One of the most things that, like, where I know that I am not a programmer at all is the guide for adding your game to ShareCart. Did you look at that? Did you find the image? And I was like, oh, okay. Oh, that explains it.
Yeah.
It's just like an extremely inscrutable image to me.
It's like, I'm sure if I had the time and somebody to like point out the important parts of it, I would understand it. I feel like I'm capable of it, but just like, that's not a room I would want to walk into on my own.
Yeah. I'm just not a computer programmer.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not, and I'm not interested in programming really. Like, and it's fine to be like, I have a lot of friends who are gamers, but also just really love this shit. Mm-hmm. Like, programming is cool. Like, I like this. It's a language.
Mm-hmm.
Like, literally, and they're conversant in it.
Yes.
And like, I understand the basic structure of a series of like flags and if then statements and setting, you know, variables and booleans and all of that stuff, but I also don't find the language like beautiful or compelling really to be something I want to play around in.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So it doesn't work for me. Like, I'd be curious to see what like Jim Crawford thinks of this game.
They've talked about this on they've talked about both ShareCart stuff and Fjords on Video Games Hot Dog, actually. Okay. So I walked into this knowing a little bit about what the basis of it was and curious to actually learn what ShareCart is. I'm still curious. I want to just like play a little bit more Fjords and then just like mess around and see what effect different games have on each other. And like the ShareCart site, like if you just do a search for this, has like a list of like games that you can try out with it.
Yeah. It's probably very similar to like putting in random Game Genie codes, you know, is what it strikes me as. Like the way it changes the levels, like it can't be authored.
No.
You know, it's like a way of ROM hacking other games with your own game, which I do like, I think is neat and like maxes out the neat meter, you know, for me, but doesn't spill over in any other columns other than like neat.
Yeah. Like,
it's extremely neat.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of all it is.
Yeah, it's neat, but like looking at it in practical, you know, just like knowing me and knowing what I have the patience for, like I don't know that I would have the patience to seek out the happy accidents that would create.
Yeah, right?
Because
like what? Yeah. Sorry.
No, that's perfectly fine.
Like, what is the thing that you can do with Nintendo 64 games? That's like cart tilting or whatever.
Yeah. Just like bending, I think it is, where you mess around. Like you basically push the cart in one direction or another, and the braking and the contacts like causes Mario to like stretch out or, you know, loop in different animations and things. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just answered your question as opposed to expounding on that as a tangent.
No. I mean, it's a similar thing though.
Yeah.
Right. Like where like, and or like Game Genie was the kid version of this where you just put in some random things and like, that is fun for a little bit. Mm-hmm. It didn't like set my absolute world on fire though, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Like the closest that I ever got to this was like learning how to like on a TI-83, like just, you know, you can't really. Basically, if you didn't have somebody around to like send you Drug Wars or the Super Mario version for that, like you would go online and find like line by line how to write your own game on that.
Mm-hmm.
And like I remember having fun just like when I was bored, you know, putting it, you know, just taking the program, and then if I was in a study hall or something, just going in and changing different values and seeing how that expressed, you know, and like the trajectory of like the projectile that I had on there, that kind of stuff. That's about as close as I ever got to really like getting into this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That and that year that I spent in computer science.
Yeah. And when I was professionally trained.
Yeah.
To do it. It was the two things.
Those were the two times where I really got into this. Yeah. Fuck me. I always forget that I did that. That sucked.
If you ever feel bad, just always keep in mind that Will Hughes, you know, worked his way like two-thirds the way towards a master's in brain science and stopped. Like dropped out because he's like, this isn't for me and I'm not good at it, I gotta quit.
Yep.
You know, so if you ever feel bad about that.
No, I don't necessarily feel bad. I feel very comfortable in the choice that I made. It's just I forget about that, and then I think back to it and like, oh yeah, that really sucked. There were reasons why I made the change that I did.
Yeah. Like not everything is for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, like if you start thinking about these things in terms of you know, because like I had to slay like a minor demon of feeling like when I admit like, oh, I'm just like not I don't see the beauty in programming. It's not for me.
Yeah.
Like a minor demon that like is like, oh, that's like not a smart thing to say. You sound like an idiot.
Yeah,
but not
yeah.
really. Like, mm-hmm. you know, it's the thing I say is a joke all the time. But like when I'm like, oh, I didn't do that. I did other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like it's not like the things I'm doing or the things I'm interested in are inherently less smart or stupider,
mm-hmm.
you know, less smart or stupider, or they're like less smart or less worthy is what, you know, what I wanted to say.
Right.
Like, it's not like they're less worthy. It's just they're just different,
mm-hmm.
you know. So yeah. you can't be an expert in everything. Like, you can be kind of curious about everything, but mm-hmm. that curiosity, you can't go all deep on every single thing.
Right. It's impossible.
Yeah. So you let yourself off the hook on that kind of stuff, I think you're going to be happier.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
No, not you specifically, just me in general.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, it, and also, like, for me, it came from, like, oh, my parents saying you want to make sure you go into a stable, secure, you know, field, because otherwise you're going to die in a gutter.
Yeah.
You know, and then spending the rest of my life trying to prove them wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. But just like the idea that there are things that are just like universally good that you need to understand. And if you don't, like, this is what good people and smart people are interested in and do. And if you don't do that, then you are not good or smart.
Yeah. I had to fight that down all the time.
Yeah.
Like I feel like pretty consistently, and because I am online to an unhealthy degree, but like we'll feel that about like Twitter friends and Twitter people I follow and stuff
mm-hmm.
pretty consistently. Yeah. You know, like I was just like, oh, like this person is smart and good, and I'm a big, big dumb dumb who can just make jokes about my dick. And like
that about your small deer.
Yeah, about my dick. My small deer and the tick that is attached to it. My small deer is what I call it.
Yeah, your dick tick. Yeah.
Yeah, my dick. You know, and just feel like, oh, I'm bad and dumb. But that I would feel that no matter what.
Yeah.
You know, separating out those two things is, you know, I wouldn't all of a sudden feel smart if I took a bunch of, like, feel worthy if I just took a bunch of computer science courses just because a lot of people I love and respect do computer science.
Right. So,
you know?
Do you remember several years ago when we did the episode on fun centers and we accidentally described how cool sports would be?
Yeah.
Yeah. What we did, what we just did was we took the long way around describing FOMO.
I mean, kinda. Like, part of it's fear of missing out, but it's a very specific version of it that is very, very tied to like
adequacy.
Just general low self, inadequacy, low self-esteem and depression.
Yeah.
You know?
So I just wanted to make sure that I got that on the record just in case somebody decided to tell us what we did.
Yeah. Yeah. Like part of it is FOMO when it's specific,
uh-huh.
you know, where I'll be like, oh, like these are cool people. And like maybe a different version of my, like I get along with them. Mm-hmm. Maybe a different version of my life would involve like working on cool shit with them.
Yeah.
And that feels really good. So that's the FOMO part of it. But the usually when traditional FOMO, it's like, man, I wish I went to that party. It's not like I'm a complete piece of shit and everyone thinks I'm an idiot because I didn't go to that party.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm not a good smart person because I didn't go to that party. That's a very different.
It's taking FOMO one level deeper and saying I'm afraid of missing out on that because I am basically not worthy of that.
Yeah. Missing out on that means that I am less of a person.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a, yeah. And that's like a thing to tamp down.
Yeah.
You know,
and
fix and fight, not a thing to that there's truth to.
Right.
You know, so, but it's also like it's in the chemicals in your brain.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so.
Thousand tiny strings.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a huge bummer,
mm-hmm.
you know, as a feeling, but I think it's pretty universal. I think a lot of people feel that, even people who are, you know, who are more successful or further along, whatever that imaginary line are, still feel that, you know, just for the person who's the next rung up.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're somehow designed to constantly, you know, feel like shit compared to other people.
Right.
That's the thing.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm distracted. We made that joke about dick earlier, mm-hmm. And I did a search there just like on Wikipedia because I wanted to look at a picture of a dick. Mm-hmm. There is something called Kirk's dick, which is a particular kind of small antelope that is named after somebody named Kirk.
Oh, hey, yeah. Kirk. The... I sleep in a dick. I'm gonna look up some dick.
Yeah.
I'm gonna look up some dick. dick. Genus Madaqua.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool. Love them dick dicks. I have nothing else to say about this game.
Same. Yeah.
I think it's cool. I think that one of the things too, when we talked about this being recommended, I do think it's recommended. I want to fuck around with more of those with the share cart stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For something I want to fuck around with, I don't want to spend $7 per game to fuck around with it.
That's a thing.
Like for something, yeah. I'm literally just gonna like try it a couple times, and I probably won't beat any of these games.
Yeah,
doesn't mean that they're bad. Like I just probably won't do it.
Yeah, so I would definitely seek out the free ones because the most that I want to engage with this is like dallying, right?
Yeah, yep. Yeah. This needs to be a dally. This is $7. I feel good about giving this guy $7.
Yeah,
you know, but I. You know, I don't, the project is not my thing enough to where I want to support the entire Stees.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see more of the writing in this too, because even though it is that itch.io house style, I'd be just curious to see more of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And we've reached that dreaded point.
how sad is it that Coco died today?
What? Coco died?
Coco died.
Oh man, that sucks.
There's like tons of, you know, just anecdotes about Coco on Twitter that have been making me messed up like all day. Like those are good animal.
Yeah. Oh, but like, one of the best for sure. She loved her cat.
She loved her cat. There's a really great, like she did jokes. Like one of the anecdotes that keeps popping around is about her, like pointing to like a picture of a bird and being like, that's me. And then the person doing sign language, like question her about it. And then eventually she said, I'm, you know, like essentially like I'm clown, I'm gorilla. like I'm joking. I'm not actually a bird. I'm a gorilla. And like, holy shit. Whoa. You know, that is one of those things. Like, I don't eat gorilla, but like that would be one of those things where, yeah, like that stands out with my, like when I saw the octopus play the game.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That was very clearly playing a game. And I was like, oh, no more octopus for me. Like I can't eat that. That's not good.
Well, you know, it's that joke you always make. Like I saw one composing a song.
Yeah, exactly. Like it is pretty much that. Like I can't eat something that knows 2,000 words.
any less than that, then I'd put on my bib. Any more than that,
I put on my bib. But if it's exactly 2,000, you know.
Yeah, but like if it knows how to lie.
Like you can, like if you can make, like jokes are such an elemental part to it's such a human thing. It feels like that, like. You know, and every once in a while, like, you know, not so much like words would do it too, sometimes too. But Maggie, my old cat, did a lot of like pratfall stuff and would do it less when we weren't around. Like you wouldn't hear it.
Uh-huh.
And we came in and she would kind of like do these like, you know, falling all over herself, like things and stuff. And it's just like, it looks like she's like trying to entertain us. Like, I know that she's not a Coco level intelligence, but it looked like that.
Yeah.
And seeing something try to like make me laugh is a real like, oh, like I can't. Think less of this thing. Like that is a real connection.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, that's where it's really heartening.
Yeah, man. So it's funny. You said, oh, did you hear Coco died? If you asked me, is Coco dead or alive? I would have told you, oh, Coco's dead as fuck.
Like, thought so too.
Coco died back in the 90s. Cause like, I remember reading like kids books about Coco.
Yeah. Well, Coco is 47 years old.
Yeah. Okay.
Coco died. So like Coco lived a long, like extremely good life too. Right. Like not to go through the cycles of grief at light speed, but like, Coco lived a very good life. Yeah. Like,
you know. Now arriving at acceptance.
Yeah. Like, but what a happy gorilla, you know, who's happy and loved and like treated with absolute, you know, the most dignity that, you know, a gorilla can be treated with other than leaving the fuck alone.
Right.
The second most dignified gorilla.
Yeah.
You know, other ones we don't know about.
So that explains a meme that I saw earlier today. It was like, oh, somebody asked Coco what happens after you die. And she said, comfortable hole, bye. Or something like that. Like, who knows if that's real? Like, it'd be very easy to make a dirt joke about that. But I figured somebody was just making a joke about Coco.
Or even like that, almost like now that you know that it's not real, it doesn't even sound like a joke. It sounds like a very sweet, you know, conception.
Right.
To me.
Yeah.
Like it's very Wii 3, you know, like was the genius of Wii 3 was that like it picked up on animals, it being beautiful that they have an intelligence, but that the intelligence being like simpler and not in a way like they're necessarily dumber. It just breaks things down into elemental concepts.
Right. Right.
You know? Like you've read that, right?
No.
Oh my God, you got to read Wii 3.
Yeah.
It's extremely good.
I have like a synopsis level awareness of it, but
Yeah, it's one of my all-time favorite comics. It's beautiful to look at. Like the actual composition is unmatched. I don't think there is a comic that has as good visual composition as We Three, and it is just such a like heart-wrenching, like really good story.
Yeah,
that does not, it doesn't, you know, it's sad, but it's also not like designed to make you sad. Like,
yeah,
you know, so
Yeah,
We Three is mandatory.
Okay,
it's really short. It's three issues. Like it goes by lightning quick.
Yeah, who's that by?
Grant Morrison.
Okay,
Grant Morrison and Frank Quitely.
Okay.
But yeah, it's a Coco reminds me of. I guarantee that We Three is at least inspired in part by Coco.
Yeah.
So.
Oh geez, I can just tell by the art style. This is gonna be very poignant.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah,
like it's very good. It made me feel good after I read it. So nice. don't feel like you're going to read it and like, you know, just like be ugly cry like after Junji Ito's Cat Diary. You know? Yeah. So.
Yeah. So it's very like it's remarkable, right? Because I think that there are plenty of animal celebrities now, you know, because of Insta.
Sure.
Whatever, but just, you know, like an animal celebrity like Coco from an age before animal celebrities were just kind of dime a dozen, right?
Yeah. And one of our best.
Yes.
You know, one of the best of all time.
The best, our best and brightest.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah, really, it's a weird thing to say, but yeah.
Yeah.
What a good girl. Godspeed, Coco.
Yep. 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 Anyway, I don't know that I've got a whole lot more. This was not quite the like joke fest that I wanted it to be.
No.
Between a serious game with a point and then, or with like a gameplay point and then, you know, Coco.
Right. And then eulogies for a gorilla. Yeah. Well, yeah. That can be fine. I have no idea why this is called Fjords.
I just assume that it would make sense later.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Oh, well. Well, do you want to call it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think I'm all right. This is a little bit shorter of an episode, I suppose. But just in compared to our most recent episodes where they've been like fairly long.
Yeah, yeah. It can be fine for this to be a half an hour.
Yeah. Yeah, so thanks very much to Pickle Factory for supporting Duckstream and exposing us to this very cool idea.
Yes.
And thank you, Coco, for your years of service.
Thank you for being an inspiration to us all. Mm-hmm. It sounds like I'm being disingenuous. I am not.
No. No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a thing of Coco meeting Mr. Rogers that I've had open in a tab.
Oh God.
Where I'm like, this
oh no.
They're great. I gotta save this. Like, I don't. This is not stuff that generally like upsets me, but like I'm very susceptible to purity right now.
Yeah. You know? No. I just said that this is such a, you know, being on the internet in the 2010s kind of thing. But like, you know, you go on and you watch Mr. Rogers making his appeal to Congress for funding, you know, and melting that guy's heart, or Mr. Rogers doing his talk about, you know, to look for the helpers. Basically, whenever there's a disaster, somebody posts the look for the helpers speech, and like you just sit there and again, ugly cry. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, purity. Yeah. Purity is good. Seek it out.
Yeah. No. Yep. Agreed.
Yeah.
Who is Purity Dog? if you like the show, please hit us up on patreon.com/duckfeedtv. Mm-hmm. They're not always like this. sometimes they're funny. And then you can also rate and review the show on iTunes.
Yes. And we appreciate those of you who have gone and done that, and we appreciate people who are going to take the time to do it in the future.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So until next time, who is Coco?
Yeah.
Who is Coco? Look, that's your assignment.
Yeah.
If you don't know what we're talking about, or if you haven't thought about Coco in a while, like look up some stuff.
Please do.
Yeah.